You know, you guys don't want to hear it, but there's still time, you know, and despite, you know, making a move this morning, and I'm sure our obituary is probably getting written somewhere this morning because we made a trade, and the fellas went out and played, man, and they had energy. And
I've been writing that thing for about a month, Tony Manziolino, and I can barely spell. But I'll tell you what, after what happened yesterday, spirited effort, not going all Tug McGraw, you know, kind of an unintentional Mets tie-in, you got to believe they did gain a game yesterday in the wild card standings. Don't only get in here. So the Orioles sweep, and we'll get into everything that happened. You heard Gunnar Henderson's two-run shot, Ben McDonald, Kevin Brown, Masson on the calls, driving home when that one happened. Then game two, Sugano struggles early. Then he heats up a little bit, retires nine in a row. And them damn walks kind of did him in a little bit, but he stabilized, and then the bats came through, and PT, if you're listening, I'm sure you are, all right, Jackson had two doubles. One was a blooper, one was a legit through the gapper, but all right, for one day. Hey, this guy was a 4-6 overall pick. Yeah, 12 years ago, whatever it is, but yesterday he came through. And then Dominguez, you heard, 99, finishing off game two of said doubleheader. Brian Baker was traded before the game. Pitched last night. Unfortunately, it didn't go well for him or the Rays as they lose to the Red Sox, which we'll get to during the American League East report when Ryan Ripken gets here at noon as we rip it with him. So, Nolan, are we back? Are we teetering? I mean, you've been saying we're back, but
you're
almost
asking me a silly question like that. Of course,
kind of
they're tongue
back. In cheek, but are you really feeling it? Right, because Seattle just got swept by New York, the Yankees, and boy, that's a tough L last night for them. But all the teams that were kind of struggling are starting to heat up again. Kansas City, well, Minnesota's still stinking. Boston's on fire, but you still managed to gain a game. Cleveland's been scuffling. I mean, you have all these teams in front of you, six still, but yet they're still just kind of clanking around here and not disappearing. Cleveland is, well, like I said, they won three in a row all of a sudden. Angels, they're doing their problemo thing. So every team goes through these ups and downs. The Orioles have won 5 of 6 games, back-to-back series. So you're saying they're back.
Actually, in all seriousness, no. I mean, I was prepared to come in today and do the whole bit again, you know, that they're back, blah, blah, blah. It's
fine. But are you really feeling anything more positive here?
I was feeling something, and then I heard Tony Manziolino there kind of peacocking after the game that, yeah, oh, they were writing us off. I'm like, hey, man, you're 8 games below 500. You're celebrating like you just made the wild card or something, or even made a playoff spot. I mean, I get it. You want to motivate the team. You want to do the thing. I appreciate him showing a little passion. I'll give him that. But at the same time, like I mentioned it yesterday, all the way people were talking going into the doubleheader, like, oh, big make or break day here. Like, this is going to, you know, this is the season. Like, is it really? If they lose, what, you're 12 below 500? Yeah, sure, I'm with you. But to get 8 below 500, does that actually give you a sense of like, oh, here we go? They're 6.5 back.
Yeah, that's
still 7 teams ahead of them.
That's the number I'm concerned with. The games back of the last wild card, not games under 500, because last year wild card teams are getting in with 85, 86 wins. You're not trying to win 120 games to get into the postseason. It's still a long road to hoe. And the Baker trade was an indication that they're probably going to sell. Charlie Morton's going to be gone within the next 3 weeks. Cedric Mullins most likely gone in the next 3 weeks. Ryan O'Hearn could be gone in the next 3 weeks. If they sweep Miami, however, now we're talking about, what's that mean? 8 out of 9, 3 straight series wins. Miami's been great on the road up until the last couple of days when they lost to the Reds. They won 11 straight road games up until the split with Cincinnati. If they sweep, Nolan, the Miami Marlins, that would put them within, what, 5 games of 500, and I would assume probably chips another game or two off of the wild card deficit. Is Elias pumping the brakes, or is it still proceed with whatever the plan is right now, which I would assume is to maybe bust a move or two?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got to proceed, at least with the expiring guys. The Morton, Mullins, you know, we know all the O'Hearn, obviously. I mean, that's the pool. The whole Baker thing yesterday with him having control threw a bit of a wrench in the situation. But if you want to take Elias at his word, do that at your own risk. But he did say that that's a one-off thing. They're not looking to sell guys with multiple years of control. They got an offer that was too good to pass up, so they pulled the trigger on it. I'll take him at face value on that until he does otherwise. We'll see. But I do think it starts with the expiring guys. And if that ends up being their reality and they're hovering around at four games back in the wild card where you're thinking, okay, maybe there is a chance to make a run here, I still don't have a problem with it. Because in all likelihood, guys like Morton, you're not going to bring him back. Mullins, let's be honest, they're probably not going to extend him and bring him back. You might as well get something for him.
Yeah, and Charlie Morton is a guy who was great again yesterday, who we all thought was going to be gone by the end of May. And the only thing that kept him from being released was the contract they signed him to, $15 million or whatever it was. If he was playing on a $4 million deal, he would have got whacked when he was 0-5. But, boy, is he turning it around to the point where not only is he going to be a commodity for a contending team, which he's used to, they're going to might get something halfway decent. You know what I mean? You never know what sort of prospect could develop and evolve into something unexpected here. But Charlie Morton, congratulations to you, by the way, for what you have done, because we were all kind of crapping on you. But, man, now you become a tradable piece. Hey, who knows? If the Orioles percolate a little bit here in the next 3 weeks, maybe a guy you keep around. I think there's too much risk with that because he's going to walk anyway. But, man, how's he rehabilitated himself? Big time.
What do they do, Bob, if they go 10-5? Over, you know, that takes them right up to the trade deadline. If you're 10-5, you're right there then.
I still think you got to move Morton while the price is high. He's not resigning.
No, I know, but I mean, if you win 10-5, if you go 10-5, which, you know, I mean, they got some Tampa and Cleveland, but then they got Colorado too, you know. So you go 10-5, you're gonna be what, maybe three games out of the wild card.
Well, I think
we were talking like after they lost the opener to the Mets, it's like blow this whole thing up. They win two games yesterday, and all of a sudden they're the 69 Orioles. Here, like you said, Nolan, business plan Elias, proceed. They still think they have a chance. And like you said, Manzo was popping off. You know, by the way, there's an Earl Weaver anniversary we'll get into during the whip around. But like, come on, man, pump the brakes a little bit. Jason Stark in The Athletic said the Orioles are the most disappointing team he's ever covered through the first half of a season. That's hyperbole, quite frankly. You know what I mean? But anyway, yeah, I still think if you're Elias, you got to move forward with what you're trying to do.
Well, it's either – so buying's off the table. They're not going to buy.
Correct.
So it's either stand pat or sell. And I know people are kind of beating this whole Detroit Tigers thing from last year into the ground, and I'm with you. They did sell, and they still competed. We know the playoffs is a long shot. So I don't have a problem, again, with selling at the deadline. And what kind of message does that send to the team? Maybe harsh here. I don't really care.
Hey, like 2022, he did it.
Yeah.
But he basically said, we suck, and then they got hot right after that.
And if anyone in the clubhouse had a problem with it, what are you doing selling away these pieces when he had a chance to make a run here? Like, let's say, like Vinny, they're three back in the wild card, and they sell 3-4 of their guys at the deadline. And maybe the player reaction would be, well, what the hell? Like, we got a real shot at this. Well, what about the first 2 months of the season? If you guys were worth half a damn then, we wouldn't be in this situation now. It's not like that we just started playing in mid-June. You know, it's the full season matters here.
Well, no, it doesn't. You know, if they're 52-55, if they go 10-5, they'll be 52-55 at the trade deadline.
Right.
Okay. You know, I mean, so you're...
They got to be above 500 for me to even consider standing pat.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, they got to be within three games of a wild card.
They would be at 52-55.
You don't know that for a fact.
No, but there's a good chance they will be.
I don't know. And they're still six and a half
the
out.
The team logjam, too. Yeah. Like, are you 3-4 back, but it's four teams in the mix? In that window, I mean, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a pulse. We know that. but I still think 2026 is the bigger picture scenario.
I agree with that.
Look, 24 hours ago, we're not even having this discussion. Now people are talking like, you know what I mean? Come on, bump the brakes. Now, I hope I'm wrong. And me and Nola grew up as Orioles fans, and nobody wants them to win more than we do. I just don't see it. And sorry, Manzo. Not writing obituaries. I mean, you wrote it for yourself. I didn't go out there and go 0 for 17 or whatever it is and can't hit with runners in scoring position. But the injuries, David Rubenstein said it yesterday as he met with the media for the first time in a couple of months, injuries are a major problem. But he also said, and I know you lived in the Dan Snyder world, Rubenstein's like, hey, I defer to the professionals, which he's doing. So Mike Elias, it sounds to me like he's kind of got full authority to do stuff here. And Sig Meidel's probably a pretty important heavy hitter in that decision-making process, I would think.
Oh, definitely. Well, trade deadline, yeah. I mean, that's where Elias is going to actually make his moves. I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to look to make moves at the deadline. The bigger question, like we've been saying, is the offseason. You know, Elias has shown no hesitancy at the deadline, especially from the selling side of things. So that's not really a concern for me.
But the Orioles sweep the doubleheader, so we're feeling better than we did a day ago. Now you got the Marlins coming to town. Identical record as the Orioles. It's the return of Kyle Stowers, Connor Norby. Rogers is pitching tomorrow afternoon. Hawaiian shirt day down at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. So an interesting weekend for both ball clubs. As we said, Miami had won 11 straight road games until they just dropped two in a row at Cincinnati. You want to get in? Are the Orioles back? Have they ever left? Yeah, they kind of have. I don't think they are, but they did gain a game, and you got to keep an eye on that sort of thing heading into the All-Star break and eventually into the trade deadline coming up in about 3 weeks. Ravens, 3 weeks away from nothing. They'll be practicing in 3 weeks. They got exhibition games coming up on August the 7th. It's going to be work as usual as the Ravens look to Super Bowl or bust. What more can you say about them? I mean, if they're having an Orioles-like season at the midway point of 25, and the only way that happens is Lamar gets hurt. But if that's happening, you talk about firing people and wanting heads to roll. We'll get into all of that way ahead of ourselves. We think the Ravens are going to go 18-0, and they only play 17 games. Derek Queen made his summer league debut, and he made a strong one, just like he did his first game at the University of Maryland. It's Featured Artist Friday. I can't remember who it is. We'll find out together next here on The Fan.